Today is the 10th Sunday after Pentecost, and the readings are from Job chapter 38, verses 4 through 18, Romans chapter 10, verses 5 through 17, and the Gospel of Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Today's message is titled, "And He Cried, Lord, Save Me." Our first lesson from God's Word comes from the book of Job, chapter 38, beginning at the fourth verse. This is God speaking to Job and those with him. "Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footing set, or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness. When I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place. When I said, 'This far you may come and no farther. Here is where your proud waves halt.' You ever have given orders to the morning or shown the dawn its place, that it might take the earth by the edges and shake the wicked out of it? The earth takes shape like clay under a seal. Its features stand out like those of a garment. The wicked are denied their light, and the upraised arm is broken. Have you journeyed to the springs of the sea? Or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been shown to you? Have you seen the gates of the shadow of death? Have you comprehended the vast expanses of the earth? Tell me if you know all this." Our second lesson comes from Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 5. Moses describes in this way the righteousness that is by the law. The man who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, "Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven,' that is to bring Christ down, or 'Who will descend into the deep,' that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, 'How blessed are the feet of those who bring good news.' But not all the Israelites accepted the good news, for Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our message?' Consequently, faith comes from hearing and the message is heard through the word of Christ." Here ends our second lesson. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter, beginning at the 22nd verse. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there all alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me!" Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Here ends our gospel reading. Again, the sermon is titled, "And he cried, Lord, save me." Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, I begin with the 4th century prayer from the liturgy of St. Chrysostom. Let us pray. Lord God of inconceivable power, incomprehensible glory, immeasurable mercy, unspeakable kindness, look on us in your tender love and show your rich mercy and compassion to us and those who pray with us. Amen. We begin where we left off from last week. Jesus had just fed the 5,000, not counting the women or children, with just 5 loaves and 2 small fish, a demonstration that Christ is more than able to meet the physical needs of the moment, making clear that Christ is more than able to meet the spiritual needs of the soul for all eternity. After that great display of creative power, bringing forth more than enough to feed the multitudes, Jesus compelled the disciples to get into the boat and leave without him. Jesus sent them off with an urgency. It was necessary for them to leave, and leave now without him. Jesus had other plans for himself. He needed time away with the Father. For me, I wonder if this was Jesus needing time away just to get away and recharge. Remember, Jesus is fully human. He had the desire to get away to a secluded place after the news of the death of his cousin John the Baptist by the hand of Herod. Now Jesus has shown compassion to the multitude, healing the sick all day. Then that flow of creative power to bring forth bread and fish to feed the thousands upon thousands. Send the disciples away, time to climb higher in the mountain and pray. When Heather and I lived in Dover, Ohio, as a part of our first mission trip out west to the Oglala Lakota Indian Reservation, known as Pine Ridge Reservation, we stayed a couple of extra days at Atlantic Mountain Camp, Atlantic Mountain Ranch. It's a Lutheran camp just outside of Custer, South Dakota. For after driving that far for a mission trip, some time of exploring the Black Hills, it just had to be done. These high schoolers on the mission trip had never been that far west, most of them let alone out of Tuscarawas County, and they have never been to the mountains before. Hiking up Harney Peak was a great way for them to experience the mountains. And that last portion of that hike is switchback after switchback after switchback. The teens were getting tired of the switchbacks, getting tired of the hike. They had never done anything like this before. The groanings, the complainings, they were aplentiful. That last switchback then brings you to set of steel stairs that wind up that last little bit. And the groanings grew. The trail then takes you winding through. You can't see yet out. and you're winding through it, and a trail takes you into the CCC-built fire watchtower from the Depression-era Civilian Conservation Corps. They built it. And then as the team walks through that decommissioned watchtower, their groanings and their complainings, they quickly changed. There became an exclamation of amazement. Wow! Followed by wow! And other shouts of joy. Not from succeeding with getting to the top. It was the view. The view from the mountaintop. A spiritual moment. I've always experienced a spiritual moment when in the mountains. Jesus desired to climb higher by himself for prayer and time with his Father. I understand that human need. Perhaps your love of the mountains helps you understand this portion of Jesus also. As Jesus was praying up in the mountains, his disciples are out in the water in the middle of the lake, far from shore, and they're struggling in the boat. They've traveled far out into the lake, but now the wind is against them. That Greek word carries the meaning the wind is actually acting like an adversary. Sort of a supernatural aspect is present as an actual adversary is tormenting the boat, tossing it about with the waves. It's now the fourth watch. Fourth watch was a Roman introduction to the area. And the fourth watch begins at 3 a.m. and goes to 6 a.m. This is the time Jesus comes walking on the water. It's a ghost! What would you think is happening if you were in the middle of the night, far from shore, with the winds fighting you? Yes, the waves actually fighting you like an actual adversary. It's a ghost! Imagine the sounds and the shrieks coming from the disciples. They're terrified men. They're shrieking. That's the meaning of the Greek word here. These men were shrieking out in fear. Hearing their shrieks, Jesus tells them to have an inner courage, to find that boldness of attitude that is spirit-produced instead of fear. Why? Because Jesus has now come near. It is I. Peter wants to put this moment to the test. Prove it is you, Jesus. Prove it. Command me to come to you walking on the water. Command me to come is the most accurate of the meaning here. Such audacity, yet such courage. As the other disciples are cringing and clinging in fear, as the boat is buffeted by that beastly blowing, Peter got down out of the boat, and Peter walked on water. Peter walked on the water, came to Jesus, till that boisterous blowing of the wind brought about a change in Peter, and the courage that caused him to come at the command of Jesus gave way to fear. And Peter's feet faltered, and soon he was submerged under the water, crying, "Lord, save me!" Now let's jump to Job. To add to this moment, to add to the wonder of Jesus walking in the water, and Peter too walking in the water as commanded by Jesus. The book of Job begins with the council happening in the heavenlies concerning Job, a man who was blameless and upright. Job feared God and shunned evil. Yet in a moment, Job loses everything. Wealth, family, gone in a moment. Job responded in his grief. But listen to how Job responded in his grief. Job chapter 1, verses 20 through 22. At this, that is losing everything, family and wealth. At this, Job got up, tore his robe, and shaved his head. Those are signs of grief. Then pay attention to what Job did. Then Job fell to the ground in worship and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. The next large portion of Job has his three friends come and sit with him for comfort till they begin to speak. Summarizing what they said, Job, surely you have sinned for all this to have befallen you. Confess your sin and repent. Job responded, he has nothing to confess, for he has not sinned. And back and forth it goes throughout the book of Job. Oftentimes, Job calls on his opportunity to question God. And in those sections, we find formal courtroom language in the phrasing of those passages. Job is a fascinating book. The Bible study I led here at Faith in Christ had tackled the book of Job a while back, and it felt like we were in that book of Job forever. I looked up when we began, and it was Tuesday, August 9th, 2016, when we began the book of Job. We didn't reach chapter 28 of Job until Tuesday, February 27th of 2018. And then we finished a couple weeks later. So from August of 2016 into the spring of 2018, all that time we were in the book of Job. We had over 48 Bible studies digging in and beginning to understand this fabulous book of the Bible. Chapter 38 itself took three Tuesday evenings all together. For in chapter 38, God arrives in a powerful fashion, interrupting Elihu, the fourth speaker that came along. Now remember, in Job, about midway through, is a statement of trust and faith. And it's found in Job chapter 19, and Job is speaking. Job chapter 19, verses 23 through 27. This is Job. Oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead or engraved in rock forever. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, and I not another. How my heart yearns within me. In that, Job expressed such great faith, even in the immensity of agony. It's a lesson for you and me during these days of dealing with coronavirus, impacting so much of ordinary life. We can express great faith even in these days. Job chapter 38, God shows up. Utterly amazing moment here in Job 38. God has showed up to talk to a mortal man face to face. A theophany of God is present here in Job 38. And so I pulled from my Bible study notes from those years ago to just remind us we are so inferior to the counsel and wisdom of God. We are in the dark. There will always be aspects of life that are out of our ability to know, to control, or understand. And I encourage you to recognize, even at those moments, all of them are fully known and under the control of the sovereignty of the Lord our God. Job had been asking God questions. Now, better get ready, Job. The Lord will now ask you questions. And I want you to notice in Job chapter 38, and I want you to learn, God does not address or answer any of Job's questions. The question God asks here are such questions Job cannot answer. It's impossible for Job to answer. For the nature of these questions are set to put Job in his place, showing that he is in no place to demand answers of God. When we hear these questions, we too should be reminded of our place in creation. Job chapter 38, beginning at verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm. He said, who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched out a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone? God is God. man is man. The difference between God and man, the difference between divinity and humanity is so vast, our minds cannot comprehend the greatness of our God. Yet, in the incarnation, this is wonders, yet in the incarnation, by the mystery and wonder of God's greatness and power, divinity, very God of very God, the maker and creator, entered into creation and became human. Took on humanity without leaving any of his divinity. Fully human, fully God. That is the vastness of God's power and the vastness of God's mystery. These questions in Job 38 drive us to remember God is God and drives us to our knees before Jesus as the Christ, the only Savior that will ever be. For in that moment on the lake, as Peter's courage faltered and fear caused him to lose his footing on the water and plunge beneath those turbulent waters, only Jesus could save him from drowning. Peter cried, "Lord, save me." Lord, save me is the only cry that a soul can cry and experience a redeemed life for all eternity. Yes, it's the only cry that can save a soul. The only cry that can redeem a life for eternity. Lord, save me. For only in Christ is salvation found. As Jesus reached out and pulled up Peter from certain drowning death in those waters, Jesus the Christ will save you from certain death due to sins in the soul. Those questions from Job chapter 38 draw us to the greatness of God, and the God who created all there is the only God whose greatness is there to save from sin. Peter gave the pattern when he cried, "Lord, save me." Romans chapter 10 echoes Peter's cry, "Lord, save me." For the scripture states in Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 13, but what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. Everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone means everyone. This is not exclusionary. This is not exclusive. Everyone means everyone. Nay, this is the most open and greatest invitation made to all. Call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. That word saved in the Greek properly means deliver out of danger and into safety. And it's principally used speaking of God, rescuing believers from the penalty and power of sin and into his provision of safety. Delivered from the penalty and power of sin to be saved, to be redeemed by faith. Yes, by faith, it is yours. For this saving is an act of God reaching out to you, just as Jesus reached out to Peter drowning in the waters. The Lord is reaching out to you to hear and believe Jesus is the Christ, crucified and risen from the dead. The God who laid the foundations of the world, who laid it all out, is the only God who can save. I encourage you later today to read the rest of Job chapter 38. continue on through the end of Job chapter 41 to hear all of these questions of God. And then finish the book reading Job chapter 42. For you'll hear this in chapter 42, verses 1 through 3. Then Job replied to the Lord, "I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. You asked, 'Who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge?' Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. Do I understand? No, these things are too wonderful for me to know. Understanding is not what makes faith, for there are many things we are not able to understand. I ask you, do you really understand gravity? Did gravity suddenly come into being at the falling of an apple, which caused Newton to wonder why the apples always fell straight down, never up or sideways? We see the effect of gravity, but do we truly understand why gravity exists? Not really. Gravity is there. Gravity was pulling Peter under the waves to a certain death, and he cried, 'Lord, save me.'" Matthew chapter 14, verses 31 through 33. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Certainly, the God who set the earth in its place can immediately calm the winds. And this God can calm the storms in your life too. Cry out to Christ, "Lord, save me." And the Lord Jesus Christ will save you. Yes, cry out to Jesus, "Lord, save me," and you will be saved. This is a certainty to bring comfort to you and to your soul, calming all the storms in your soul. For in Christ, grace has redeemed you. Christ has reached out to you, pulled you to that place of safety in his arms. Jesus Christ will bring you safely home. Yes, Christ will safely bring you home. Amen and amen.